Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
You might be surprised to hear that art galleries, famous landmarks and sandy beaches don't top some people's lists of holiday highlights. Instead, they prefer a trip to the local supermarket. So-called grocery tourism has always been something that people do when they travel abroad, but it's recently been having a bit of a moment on social media. So what is the appeal? To talk more about this, I'm joined on the line by retail consultant Barry Savage. Barry, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Philip, and how are you today?
I am delighted that what I thought was my secret weirdness is now one that is, I find, shared by large numbers of people and has become a social media phenomenon.
Well, I'm delighted now that you have been. I'm delighted that you've been outed in a retail sector. I've been involved in it for many, many years. And I'm delighted to be here today to talk about it because it is something everybody talks about.
It is a fascinating insight into the way a country works and what it's really like, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, you know, when you go to somewhere like Paris, well, I know when I go there, of course, you go to the Eiffel Tower and Versailles and the Louvre and all that. But I mean, where I love to go is the local Monoprix supermarket. That's where you'll find out the real cultural significance of any place.
So when when you go to Monoprix or Carrefour, where do you start?
Well, look, because I'm in the wine business and that's what I do, I always like to say I'll go over to the wine section and I'll try and root out a nice new bottle of Bordeaux or something like that. But I don't. I go over to the crisp section because the humble crisp, like the humble supermarket, will tell you more about a country and what flavours and what foods that country particularly
likes. Yes, well, this is a sort of a controversial area to start in, really, isn't it? Because there are those purists in Ireland who would argue that what they have in France are an interesting culinary phenomenon in their own right, but they ain't crisps.
Well, you see, this is the thing. This thing, you could argue the same thing in America, but the worldwide brand that is the behemoth, that's Lay's or whatever, crisps. But they are. They're sliced potatoes that are fried. So in Monoprix, you go over and you'll find the real essence of Paris. I mean, you know, you'll find things like Provençal lavender and honey, boudin noir.
As a crisp flavour?
Yeah, as a crisp, absolutely. As a crisp. Oh, this lavender flavour. You open the packet of crisps, you wouldn't know whether you're going to eat them or put them on your pillow to help you to sleep. They're absolutely, they are, I'm telling you, they are delicious. Boudin noir, black pudding, and cut the boof. I tell you, get up. And even, I mean, they haven't quite, I mean, that's the real flavour of Paris. I mean, they'll have Celine Dion flavoured crisps there soon.
Isn't that amazing now? A window into the soul of a nation through their choice of crisps. Okay, so moving on from the crisps then, where do you go next?
Well, I would go over to the fruit and veg section as well. Again, in any French supermarket or Spanish supermarket. I'm sick of the European supermarkets at the moment. We'll go further afield in a minute. But you'll find, in Greece, for example, you'll find tomatoes that are the size of footballs and they actually still smell like tomatoes. The old smell that you used to get from tomatoes of years ago.
Are you just looking at the produce or are you looking at price and availability?
Well, I'm supposed to be looking at price and availability, but that goes in one eye and out the other. But the real thing I'm looking at is what product is there, what people are buying, and is there anything on those shelves that you could maybe find out who the supplier was to that particular supermarket and might actually suit the Irish palate.
Well, because I have to say that one of the things that I do when I marvel at these products, and particularly recently I was on a work trip to the United States, I was looking at the meat aisles and I looked at the amount of pork products, the variety of pork products, but principally the cost of those pork products. I said, my God, if they can do that cheaply, I'm not really sure I want to be eating this.
Well, you see, this is the thing. I mean, that's the old argument again about how they're actually rare. The husbandry of the pigs and the cattle and as well is, you know, would you? I mean, you couldn't possibly compare like pork products in America to say the Yaman oil in Spain that's really ham heaven.
Now, you are, of course, within the European Union allowed to bring home, I think, 5 kilograms of fresh produce and 2 kilograms of processed foods back home to Ireland. So what are some of your favourite things to come home with?
Well, apart from the crisps, the durian-flavoured crisps is what I brought back recently from Thailand, of all places.
Hang on a second.
Yes.
Durian?
Yes.
Durian is outlawed on the subway in Singapore, isn't it, because of the smell of it? What do durian crisps smell like?
Much the same thing, but my goodness, Philip, the taste is amazing. So it is. It brings you straight back to Thailand. And it is something, it's a cultural phenomenon, again, in Thailand, in the Big C supermarket chains, that you'll see them there as well. I bring back the crisps as well. But I mean,
how is it that something can smell so vile yet taste so lovely?
Well, you see, that's the thing. I mean, that's the dichotomy between smell and taste.
What else have you put into the... into the suitcase that you're allowed to.
Well, you see, this is the thing that you're allowed to bring now. I mean, God be with the days when people, supermarket tourists to Ireland, I'm going off point a bit, when they were here, just the tourists when they came to Ireland, they come back with rashers and sausages. But you can't do that anymore because, I mean, sure, the customs dogs will sniff out a sausage as quick as they would Semtex.
And enforce the phytosanitary hygiene restrictions as they should be doing,
Oh,
Barry.
Absolutely. And, you know, and we want to preserve our own food culture and our own food industry in Ireland as well. We don't want people bringing in, like, raw chicken's toenails or something like that from Beijing. You know, our chicken's heads, which also I saw in supermarkets in Beijing.
You weren't tempted to bring home some chicken heads, were you?
No, I wasn't, but I saw them.
Were you tempted to eat them?
No, I wasn't tempted to eat them. Again, I went into a supermarket in Beijing and we were after doing a bit of a tour. We went out to the Great Wall, which just left me cold because I thought most of us reconstructed. I mean, I was half expecting to find an ATM in the Great Wall. But we went back to the supermarket where it's really at. And that's where I saw... Again, I was looking for wine and they've got some really, really good wine in China and even for sale here, some really good Chinese wine made sometimes by Australians. Very good Riesling, very good Cabernet Sauvignon. But anyway, went into the supermarket, turned a corner and it was a chilled section of raw chicken open to the customers of every permutation of chicken you could possibly think of. There was chickens the size of ostriches, the size of blackbirds, chicken toenails, ankles.
And no part wasted, yeah.
No, and on the chicken head, as I said, a lady standing beside me had a little bit of English and she said, oh no, she said, we use the chicken heads in soup to give a lovely umami flavour in the soup. Now, I thought an umami was a type of soup of a motorbike, but anyway, they put it into the soup. But there you go. I got more interaction and more cultural insight into what's going on in Beijing than I did going out looking at the Great Wall.
Indeed, you would, wouldn't you? Yeah. Your favourite, your most exotic taste in all of this supermarket shopping that you've acquired over the years?
Well, the famous one, and the was actually, again, it was in France, which was probably, naturally, for a European, one of the best gourmet destinations, was the cheese, of course. And there's a cheese over there called Epoisses de Bourgogne, and it's probably the stinkiest cheese you could possibly buy. Of course, I had to buy some on the last day. I happened to be over there on a trip to Cognac.
You didn't bring it home on the airplane, did you?
But I did.
Thoughtless, horrible, cruel man.
I did, but I thought I had it well wrapped. Like myself, Philip, I thought I was well wrapped. Well, you know something, passengers on the plane were half expecting the oxygen masks to drop down in front of their head. But my goodness, it was just gorgeous, so it was.
I was nearly tempted to bring home, though I didn't at the end of the day, a tin of dried whale skin from Greenland last year. That is an acquired taste, I can absolutely assure you.
Oh, it is. And tins, again, in Iceland when I was there, tins of marinated shark that you could bring back. They have the shark, I think they buried them for a couple of months or whatever till it's nicely sort of melded together.
High
as a kite, but delicious, but absolutely delicious.
Barry Savage, you've turned everybody off their breakfast. There'll be nobody having lunch today. Thank you very much for coming in to us this morning.